from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
That's certainly one way of putting it. Red Sox nearly no hit. They end up getting shut out. Only managed two hits against the Toronto Blue Jays. And the season that just won't let up, just keeps on going here, as they find themselves now 3.5 games back. The Minnesota Twins did not play last night. They are playing the Blue Jays tonight. So the Red Sox, a win and a Minnesota loss, would get them back to 2.5 games back in the wild card. Right now they sit 3.5 back from the Twins. The Royals also lost. They've lost two in a row now, which has boosted Cleveland back up to the top of the Central, while the Red Sox now still try and get into that third wild card. I was thinking about that while I was watching the game last night, while I was watching the Red Sox offense struggle against a good pitcher, and that kid, Bowden Francis, who was out there. I mean, he is he's coming out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, just no one can touch him. And I was watching them, and I was watching them struggle. I was watching Rich Hill out there, and you know, coming on in relief, his 20th major league season in a row. This is what constitutes an actual pickup now, an acquisition for this team. And I was watching all of that and thinking, you know, this team misses the playoffs again. After all the positive feelings and momentum going into the All-Star break and sort of all the things that we looked at and thought, you know, it's going to be different this year. And I thought that. I think a lot of people thought that. The stretch where they went 10 games over 500 going into the All-Star break, I think changed a lot of people's mind about this team, about what they could be, about Alex Cora, about a lot of things. I mean, that extension didn't kick in until, you know, that happened. So I think there's a lot to be made about that stretch from June 15th until right up until the All-Star break, where you thought, all right, this team has a chance to really be something this season. If they miss the playoffs again, is anyone going to take notice in that building? Is anyone, you know, from Sam Kennedy to Tom Warner to John Henry, is it going to get their attention? Is it going to get them to maybe reevaluate the way they've been doing things? Theo Epstein's there now. We all sort of thought maybe Theo would be a voice in the ear of these guys to get them to go back to the way things used to be in terms of spending, in terms of fan engagement, in terms of trade deadlines, all that stuff. And I do wonder, are they so far gone? Are they so dug into their business model? Are they so, you know, just into the idea of Fenway Sports Group and all this other stuff they got going on here with the Pittsburgh Penguins and their PGA Tour investment and everything else that they're doing, that the Red Sox have just become a number on the ledger and not something that they'll ever really take seriously the way they did when they first bought the team? And while I think that's probably true, they'll never get back to that way of thinking, will this get their attention? Will missing the playoffs again after all those good feelings back in June and July, is that something that will get the attention of John Henry? Is that something that will make them maybe reevaluate this whole hands-off, develop the young kids, don't spend much money, and don't really go crazy at the deadline. Let's just hoard all our prospects and hope we can get some cheap labor and win games that way. Could that possibly be a benchmark maybe in the organization?
Maybe, but you did it again. You said they. I think it's a he. Now, you pulled it back around at the end there and said John Henry, because when you started, you said everybody. Mm-hmm. You listed everybody. Tom Warner and
Kennedy Theo and all
like,
them, yeah.
Do they matter?
Not necessarily. I mean, Theo might. Theo might have
like
Henry's
who,
ear.
Okay, let's change that question a little bit. Like, do you think if Sam Kennedy says, you know what I really think we need to do? I've been here a long time. Seems like when we spend, we have better players. Mm-hmm. Does that matter?
No.
Okay.
Probably not.
So if Craig Breslow says, listen, I think I put a decent team together, but I know I haven't been doing this job a long time, but I get a feeling if I spend some money, we'll be better. Does that matter?
Probably not.
Okay. Now, if Theo says that, does that matter?
I think there's Theo, yes. Theo, I think, because they brought him in this year. And Theo is someone that has had success here. When he was in charge of all this stuff, he's someone that, you know, went on to win championships with the Cubs and then became part of Major League Baseball, and I think is probably more well-respected in those circles than, say, those other two guys.
Yeah. But
so, I would say yes for
so
Theo.
He's your lobbyist. If we're going to get a lobbyist,
right,
we need Theo to do the lobbying.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find John Henry very interesting. Very, I always say, we always throw the word fascinating around, but I think there's a fascinating aspect to him. What his motivations are, what they were, how they've changed, mm-hmm. like how he views things through, as you said, is it just a number? Is it a bottom line? Is it a spreadsheet, as everybody says? Because I come from a world of 20 years. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, but Robert Kraft at least started as a passionate fan.
Yep.
I don't know where he is now. I don't know if he's more businessman than fan or if it's 50-50, you know, whatever the percentage breakdown is. But I at least know where he started on some level.
I think, just to give my two cents on that, I think he's still a fan. I don't know that he has the same passion for it, but I also think he, like everybody else, got very spoiled by the Belichick-Brady era and now thinks that he can just keep running it that way and that, you know, eventually things will get back to the way that they were. You know, I just, that's sort of the delusion that a lot of people are under, and I think that's starting to slowly wear off.
So, do you think John Henry would be more motivated, get his rocks off, whatever you want to call it, by the Red Sox winning or a new acquisition?
The Red Sox winning.
So you no. I mean a new acquisition in terms of, let's, for lack of a better example, the Boston Celtics.
I see what you mean. I'm sorry. Okay. New acquisition then.
Me too. Yes. It's a portfolio, right?
Yeah.
Isn't this what rich people do? Like, you see it in movies all the time.
Totally.
Like, some movie is based on some rich guy wanted, like, some tusk from some elephant that is worth money, right? Like, they pursue these weirdly expensive...
Every Indiana Jones movie.
Right,
yes, right.
Trinkets. Oh, yeah, I want something, the relic of this. It's from the Bible, blah, 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 blah.
And the Ark of the Covenant or something, right?
Right. Yeah. I think that's how John Henry looks at business. And, like, he acquired the Red Sox, and he made the Red Sox a winner. Like, you can't argue that. He succeeded in winning. But how, like, there's nothing they can add to his portfolio.
Right. And more so than the Patriots, even. John Henry can look at the way things have gone over the last 20-plus years and say, you know, we've won with a bunch of different types of people.
Yep.
We won with Theo Epstein and Terry Francona. We won with Ben Cherington and whoever the manager was after that, John Farrell. We've won with Dave Dombrowski and Alex Cora. Like, we've won with a lot of different types doing it different ways. Like, Dombrowski was a big spender. Cherington wasn't. You know, Theo was sort of a good mix of both of those things, and all the managers had different personalities. The Patriots can't say that. The Patriots won with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady for 20 years, and that was it.
Right.
And there should be, I think, a much, much more concerted effort there to at least be like, okay, we can't just keep waiting for that to happen again. We have to try something else. With the Red Sox, of course they want to try. So we can do whatever we want. We'll keep winning. We'll just find another winner. You know, we fire a manager. The next one comes in. They win the World Series right away. That's what happened for, you know, a few years there. Every 5 years, they just bring in a new guy. Now they've kind of hit a point where it's not really working like that anymore.
And that's where I you say it, though, like they've done it a lot of different ways, so they can be sold on Craig Breslow that he has a plan and this plan will work. And, oh, it didn't work year one.
Bloom was the anti-Dombrowski.
Right.
And then instead of bringing in a Dombrowski, they brought in Breslow, who's basically the same as Ian Bloom, I think.
Right, but he might be better at the style, I guess I'd say.
Do you think he is so far?
Debatable.
If you're under these parameters that Sam Kennedy likes to talk about, then it doesn't really matter who you are. Like Dave Dombrowski, if he came here and said, I want to spend on David Price and I want to trade for Chris Sale and I want to do all that, and John Henry said, no, we're not doing that, then Dave Dombrowski's just like everybody else. You know, like he was given that freedom to do those things.
And that's why I don't think it's a they, it's a he, and I don't know if you can change him. I don't know if you, because you answered it. He like the portfolio acquisitions.
Right.
Like, he cares about business acquisitions, not baseball acquisitions, not improving the baseball team. And I also think some of it might just be, in all honesty, like day to day. Does he know they had a great starting effort from Brian Baio and then almost got no hit? You think he even knows it? Like day to day.
He probably reads the paper, I'd say.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's his paper.
It's not the first. You think it's the first? Don't people like him read, like, Wall Street Journal and stuff first?
I don't know.
I mean, you're not people like him. So.
I'm not people like him, so I have no idea. By the way, the Tigers have announced a starter. It's Casey Mize.
Oh! Is he good? You're going to downplay him, and then he's going to almost no-hit him?
He's all right. 2-6 with a 4.23 ERA this year. He's only pitched 78 innings, so
Is he? He might be an opener. Let me see if he's like a relief pitcher. I don't know what he is. I haven't watched a lot of Tigers games this year.
The thing I saw said he's...
No, yeah, he starts. 16 starts. He's been mostly starting. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, I... So getting back to your bigger picture question, I actually think them missing the playoffs, if you're a hopeful old school fan that still sees the Boston Red Sox as a big market team that competes with the Yankees and the Dodgers and whoever else to spend money, I think missing the playoffs is the best thing that could happen. Because I think if you make the playoffs, it validates their plan, their style. See? Told you. People had fun. They got excited. We made the playoffs. What do you want? I didn't need to go spend any, you know, Shohei. You want me to give him a deferred deal for some ridiculous amount of money? Why? I made the playoffs.
Right.
So I actually think missing the playoffs, especially...
They missed the playoffs the last 2 years, and that didn't change anything.
No, that's true. So, you know. Well, it did change one thing. You got a new job.
But you blew out Chaim Bloom, brought in another guy who's just like him. So, I mean,
and
did it really change anything?
And the other aspect in here is that's a wild card in this whole mix is Alex Cora and the fact that he signed an extension.
Yep.
And he bought into whatever... Craig Breslow was selling, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. Somehow they came to... Now,
well,
I'm all...
They gave him a big contract, so...
Yeah, but not the biggest.
Not the biggest, but a nice...
Do you think it was just
there.
Money? Because everybody was speculating that he was going to get... what's his name's contract?
Craig Counsell
Craig
money.
Counsell money. Yeah. And he didn't get Craig Counsell money. What did he get? 3 years, $21
million? Yes.
Yeah. So that's good money.
More than that, maybe.
I think it was 3 and 21. I think he had basically $7 million a year. Maybe 3 and 22.
Let's see what the skipper ended up getting.
Don't do that.
He ended up getting... It. A 3 year, yep. So it's a little more than $7 million per season. So yeah, it's right around there. Yeah.
So a little north of $21 million, not council money, not crazy money, not like earth shattering. I couldn't possibly leave here. Money.
Second highest per contract for a manager, considering they've been in last place the last couple of years. I'd say that's substantial.
Yeah, but
you know, you're not talking about a guy who's won a bunch of World Series in a row now. Getting to,
no,
right. You're talking about a guy whose team finished last place. And
Craig
they
Counsell
gave him a
won
contract.
A bunch of World Series in a row too.
No, but that's the point. I guess is like you know, like, what the market is, what it is. And I think that you know, Counsell getting that big contract, he was considered a hot managerial prospect. I'm
but
not
what
sure.
Can
I think Cora probably would have been too if he hit the market.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
he would have been a hot prospect. But my question is more like, so he signed on. Does he have leverage? Does he have any say? Does he have like a? You guys said we were going to spend, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're going to do something. You know, last year was fun for a while, but we lost again. We finished in the same place, maybe.
Well,
who
doesn't
knows?
This sort of kill his leverage?
100%. That's what I'm saying.
And he can't say, well, if you don't spend, I'm going to leave. You can't do that now.
Nope, you absolutely cannot. So I that's where I wonder how that all transpired. I don't think it was just money, and I know Alex put a lot of it on family and settled and some of that. I just got to think he got some sort of a feeling that it's not going to be Groundhog Day year after year. That at some point this is, and I don't, there's no way he just bought into the core four, or the big three, right? And that suddenly this is just going to be
that
all
these prospects
young.
Are all going to come up and kill it. Yeah, I mean,
like,
I
I'm sure
know.
He likes the idea there's prospects coming and likes the idea he has a young roster, but he knows baseball, and I think he knows that you still have to supplement it with major league arms, major league bats, spending cash.
Yeah.
So don't you feel like he must know something we don't know? Like there must be some sort of a wink, wink, nod, nod agreement happiness.
You would think so, but he was also here after winning the World Series with the best team in the history of the Boston Red Sox, and then 2 years later they're trading Mookie Betts and getting rid of all these young guys that came up and were cheap, and you know, hopefully what these guys, these three guys in AAA right now are going to be, and if he knows that they're all just going to move on and trade them when they start asking for money, when they get out of their arbitration years and become, you know, potential free agents, then that's not great. It's like, all right, so what if these guys don't all work out? You know, what if there's not a Mookie Betts in this thing? What if we don't end up being the best Red Sox team ever like we were in 2018, his first year here? And then those guys all end up leaving anyway. That's, you know, at least they had the World Series back then. What if they don't this time?
Yeah, I'm banking on their spending.
I hope
so. You
know
me. I'm an eternal optimist.
Sounds like it, yeah.
The Red Sox are going to spend. The Patriots are going to spend. It's all good in Boston sports ever since the afternoon program started.
That's right. Big time spin zone. Here we go. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Jackson's going to get you caught up on what's trending. We'll come back and continue our Red Sox conversation, and we'll debut another new segment.
Jeez.
Yes, another new segment. Although it may not be new to all of you, that would be This Week in Social Media, a.k.a. Twism. That's
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Coming up next.
This week in social media with Arcand and Hard on WEEI.
Text line's excited, 603. Twism returns, all caps, exclamation point. Yes,
that is my
point.
That's my people up in New Hampshire. By the way, New Hampshire, I'm going to be up there in just a few minutes here. So looking forward to that.
Hide your daughters.
Watch out. Arcan's heading up to the Granite State. Anyways, it's this week in social media. The whole point of this is very simple. It's exactly what it sounds like. Hashtag Twism. And no, not the Shaq Twism. You remember Shaq's clothing line? It was called Twism. Do you know what I'm talking about? It was called The World Is Mine. AKA Twism. But yeah, that's not what this is. And please don't sue me, Shaq. But this is, and I don't even think that's a company anymore. So
probably
I don't
not.
Think he could
I feel
me,
like
so.
Maybe that was one of his early strikeout companies before he hit gold with virtually everything he's touched.
Probably,
since.
Yes, one of those. Anyways, what we do here is we give you a roundup of all the funny and weird things that happen in the world of Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok, on Snapchat, Facebook, whatever. And we will start with defensive back for the New York Jets, Sauce Gardner. Now, Sauce Gardner has proven himself to be a pretty good follow on the Twitter machine, and I'm not calling it X, so we're sticking with Twitter. That's what everyone's doing. That's what I'm doing. Sauce Gardner tweeted out a room in his house that says, "Do I even have to say what's getting built at my new house?" And it's a picture of, it looks like AstroTurf on the ground. There's a bunch of boxes everywhere. There's ladders and stuff. It looks like they're putting something together in that room, either, a home gym or something along those lines.
Some
kind of golf simulator, maybe something along those lines. Who's to really say? Anyways, a Buffalo Bills fan, a young lady named Callie Mariakis, replied to him and said, "A simulator to teach you how to not commit pass interference or defensive holding." Pretty good zinger. Pretty good zinger there for Mrs. Mariakis. But what she didn't realize was that she was getting into the mud with a guy who is a legitimate tweeter. Like, he seems like he enjoys getting down and dirty in the mud with people, and he certainly did with this young lady. Gardner replied. Sauce Gardner replied to that tweet, which was, a zinger. "Don't commit pass interference, defensive holding." She's a Buffalo Bills fan too, by the way. So it's not like it was some Jets fan. It was trolling him online.
But a football zinger. It's not like it was a off the field zinger.
Right. And Sauce Gardner replied with an off the field zinger. Gardner replied with a tweet he's now deleted, saying, "I'm sure your husband wouldn't like it if I told him you DM'd me your OnlyFans link, would he?"
Jesus.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. 0-60.
That's
that really escalated.
Cranking it up a notch. It certainly did. It's like, ha-ha, you commit defensive holding. Ha-ha, you're an online nude model or whatever, and I'm going to tell your husband all about it, and you DM me the link to your OnlyFans and blah, 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 blah. The reason he deleted this is because it seems like maybe he made up that claim, the claim being made by the fan who responded to Gardner. She called him out for lying and told him, "Go ahead and send the link to my husband, Callie Mariakis. Why don't you send him the link? He's waiting. I would love to know what it is myself. Nice comeback, Sauce Gardner, but what a shame. It's a big, fat lie." First of all, as someone who has been known to get into the mud on Twitter, and you do that as well, Andy, I mean, this is...
Why do people always point to me when they're looking for somebody who gets in the mud on Twitter?
Well, I'm saying I do it too. You definitely... Okay. I've seen you do it.
I like to fight on Twitter.
You definitely fight on Twitter. You get in the mud. I get in the mud. I haven't as much lately just because I don't like going on Twitter as much these days and picking fights and stuff like that, but I occasionally will do it. Where do you rank this exchange between Sauce Gardner and this young lady, this young married lady Buffalo Bills fan?
Oh, this is... From her perspective, I think it's a 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
She kicked ass.
Yeah.
That's a good woman right there, because he took it in a direction that you're a professional athlete.
Right.
And a rival team's fan made an on-field playing reference about, like, the way you play the game.
About, like, penalties and
right.
stuff.
Right. Like, what are you doing? And you escalated
that. Escalated quickly.
Yeah.
Yes, it
immediately.
I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Killed a man
it
with
jumped
a
up
trident.
A notch. It did, didn't it?
It did. Yeah, like, could you be any softer? I'd be really embarrassed if I were Sauce Gardner.
He had a bad year last year, too, didn't he?
Like, I feel like Gardner was not one of the higher rated DBs last year.
That's how cornerbacks are now.
I think he fell off a little bit.
But yeah, that's from her part, 10 out of 10. Called his bluff. You know, it's good. Now, what were the chances that he really knew that she was an OnlyFans model?
Well, he didn't. He just made it up,
I think. No, I know, but that's what I mean. Like,
if she actually did DM him that link, that would have been a great response, right? Like, oh, okay, well, here, look at this.
Here it is.
Here's a screenshot of the DM, and right. Here's the OnlyFans link and all that. Now, that would have been a good response. Making it up, not a good look.
And then you delete it?
Right.
What are you deleting it for?
Yeah. Pretty
Chris
weak.
Mortensen never deleted it.
No, that's true. We never did. Left it up there.
Never will.
Until the end. All right. That brings us to our next tweet here, and it also involves a defensive back in the NFL. Our good friend, former friend, Las Vegas Raiders cornerback Jack Jones, who was not happy about receiving some texts from the NFL about a drug test early yesterday morning. In a now-deleted post on Twitter, Jones shared a text he got from an NFL representative about a drug test that needed to be completed within 3 hours. The text came in at 5 a.m., and there was a follow-up text an hour later. Jones responded as if he was highly confused. So the first text said this: "Good morning. This is Ryan on behalf of the NFL. The NFL has selected you to complete an in-person urine and blood test that must be completed ASAP at the team facility. The NFL gives each player a strict three-hour window to test, so your test must be completed by 8 a.m. today per NFL protocol." Jones did not respond. Another text came in at 6:01, and it said, "Did you receive my text, Mr. Jones? Just a friendly reminder that your test must be completed at 8 a.m., so please come see me as soon as you can complete the test. Thank you, sir." Jones then responded with the following: "Man, you texted me this morning. I'm supposed to be notified earlier than that. There's a new NFL protocol," the representative responded. "On days the team meeting starts at 7:30, they want me doing notifications at 5 a.m. on the day of the test now. Every athlete has a strict three-hour time limit." Jones' now deleted tweet read, ?? at NFL.
Yeah.
So Jones, not familiar with the new rules here, I guess, which this does seem a little ridiculous.
Well, I thought
in 3 hours you got to come in here and pee in front of me, and that's, you know, that's just the way it is now.
But I thought it sounded ridiculous until the guy explained that they have a 7:30 meeting.
Right.
So, like, if you have to be there for a 7:30 meeting, be there by 7, pee, give your blood, do whatever you got to do to complete. On a random out of nowhere, I think this would make no sense because there's at least a good chance you sleep through this, right?
Right.
That I don't get up before 8 if I have a day off. But clearly the rule is in
place.
It
wasn't a day off, right.
Yeah. Right. Based upon they have a meeting, so they know the people are supposed to, A, be getting up, B, going to the facility, and B, going to the facility before the deadline, right? He has to be in a meeting at 7:30, so it's not that hard.
Right. Now, is 2 hours enough time to go get a Wizinator and some synthetic
stuff? He's scrambling.
Definitely, yeah. Now, I know that there's like juices you can get to try and bypass those things. I've never tried it before.
Sure.
But I'm aware of these things.
What kind of juices? Pickle juice?
I work in radio. They've never drug tested anybody in the history of radio. What are you talking about? Because I've been doing this a long time.
Maybe they do swab tests.
If they drug tested people in radio, no one would ever work in radio.
You know, there's like tests they can do where they can like wipe down the desk that you were at and it can tell if you had like drugs in your pores or whatever?
Really?
Yeah.
he backs up from.
Tell
hands
me more
in the
about
air,
this.
Not touching anything.
Where's my anybody got any wipes? Clorox, something like that. If you think you're going to fail the drug test, I could see why that would put him in a bit of a tizzy.
Yeah, my guess is there was other things he missed. Emails and like letters and things that he probably was made aware of the new rules at some point, right? Doesn't that seem
probably to yes. Now Jack Jones has been gotten in trouble very famously for bringing a gun through an airport.
Yeah.
You remember Ontario Smith?
Yes.
He got in trouble for taking a Wizinator through an airport.
Yes.
And I just think if you were in line behind him in the TSA, you know, you're in line behind this big, tough-looking football player, and all of a sudden they say, "Sir, is this your bag?" And then they pull out this giant fake penis with a bag of pee attached to it or whatever. I don't know exactly how the Wizinator works. I assume that's what the thing is. That would be pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
That's a tremendous
story to tell your friends.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to try to get a picture, be an awkward situation, not with him, but just like of the situation
unfolding. I'd be taking pictures of that thing.
You have the Wizinator photo. Oh, yeah, that's a story to tell.
Is this your prosthetic penis?
It's not mine.
Yeah, whoa, man. Oh, that must be somebody else's bag. That's definitely
property
not my bag.
Of Ontario Smith.
Yes. And then, of course, there was this story which came. I didn't notice this until I saw it on the Daily Mail. But apparently Michael Jordan has been trying to sell his mansion in Chicago for 11 years. And the reason why he can't, a TikTok video, which is some urban, I think it's like this guy who goes to various whether it's old malls or old motels or things that have been sort of left And this is Jordan's mansion in Illinois, which is in complete disrepair, and he can't sell it because people keep going there and taking TikTok videos and showing what terrible shape it's in.
The abandoned mansion.
It's
of
an
Michael
abandoned
Jordan.
Michael Jordan mansion. It has a
shouldn't it have
gym
more
in
value,
it?
Not less? It's Michael Jordan's in Chicago.
You'd think so.
I live in Jordan, the heir's throne. Like,
yeah,
I'm the heir to the heir's throne. The whole
there's
damn thing.
There's a full court, a full basketball court. It's flooded. All the bedrooms are all covered in trash.
I'll give
crap
him 20
everywhere,
bucks
all
right
that.
Now. Sold.
I'll take it. There's a big 23 on the gate out front. But yeah,
sick.
He can't sell it. He's now dropped the asking price to $11 million, up from like 25. And that's all the time we have here on This Week in Social Media. Stick around. We got my man Joe Weil. He's coming up next with the Mass Mutual pregame show. This has been WEEI Afternoons. Great job back there, Jackson. And we'll talk to you on Monday. We're working on the holidays. Stick around. Here come the Red Sox.
See?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.